So the second point of view, the second perspective that we are given in this parable is of the four soils. And so we'll briefly break those down, and we'll look at the way that Jesus told the parable, and then we'll jump to the way that he explains it further down in chapter 4. And so the first one being the path. So in Mark chapter 4, verse 4, Jesus says that some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Now in Luke's gospel, Luke adds Jesus saying that the seed sown on the path is trampled. And so Christ's explanation you will find in Mark chapter 4, verse 14, where he says, "And there are the ones on the path, where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them." And Matthew records Jesus saying that when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, so we have a little additional clarity here. So when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in the heart. And so we can see that there's a distinction between simply hearing the word of God and understanding it. Hearing only the sound of someone talking about the gospel as opposed to understanding in the mind the reality and the truth of the gospel, the purpose of the gospel. This soil in this parable is the one where I'm tempted to think that it's a waste of my time to explain, because if you don't hear the word of God, then why say it? If you don't understand the word of God, then why waste my time? Why even talk about it? It appears that those whose hearts are like a calloused, hard, trampled path cannot receive this message. They cannot receive the word of God. And not because Satan takes it away, but because they do not understand it. They don't understand what is being said, and then Satan comes to take it away. And he quickly comes to take it away so that they may not believe and be saved. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, Paul writes that the word of the cross is folly. It's foolishness to those who are perishing. He also wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 14, that the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. I feel the need to be clear on this portion that if you accept the gospel and understand that you need Jesus to be saved, but don't understand this parable, you are not being referred to as this hardened path. The hardened path is in reference to those who hear the gospel and do not understand its purpose or its need, for they believe it to be foolish. If you simply don't understand this parable, welcome to the family. Even Christ's disciples didn't understand this parable, which is why they had to ask him, "What are you talking about? What does this mean?" And so he has to explain it to them. And thankfully, we have Christ's explanation of this parable just very clearly stated in chapter Mark. Going on to the second soil, the rocky ground. In Mark chapter 4, verses 5 to 6, Jesus tells the parable, "Other seed fell on the rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up. And since it had no depth of soil, when the sun rose, it was scorched. And since it had no root, it withered away." And Christ's explanation is found just a little further down in verses 16 to 17. And he says, "These are the ones sown on rocky ground. The ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but they endure for a while." Let me read that again. His explanation in verses 16 to 17. "And these are the ones sown on rocky ground. The ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then, when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. Everyone who believes in the name of Jesus will face persecution because of his name." He has promised us that. Jesus was clear in his explanation that when, not if, when tribulation and persecution arises on account of the word, the shallow in faith will fall away. Not because of some unrelated difficulty like a broken relationship or a lost job, or all of the effects that we are facing right now because of this virus being spread. I think a lot of us are being pushed to our limits because our conveniences are all being taken away, and some are more severe than that. But he's talking about persecution because of the word of God. Not persecution because of other things that you're going through in life, but because you believe God. That's the persecution he's talking about. And I believe this is where the false gospels of the prosperity and the word of faith movements and many others lead many to believe in Jesus and receive him with great joy because of all of the blessings of health and wealth and material things that they promise you alongside of that. We have learned through our very, very short journey in the book of Mark that Christ's primary concern is your spiritual health and well-being. Because your spiritual health and well-being is an eternal matter. It's not a temporary thing. Your physical well-being is secondary. And now he still desires to give you what you need so that you don't have to worry about what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat. But his primary concern is that you are eternally safe in him, that you are eternally related to him. In John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus tells his disciples that in the world they will have tribulation. And that's a promise. And Paul confirms this in his letter to Timothy in saying that all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. And you can find that in 2 Timothy 3, verse 12. So going to the third soil among the thorns, in Mark chapter 4, verse 7, Jesus says, "Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up, and it choked it, and it yielded no grain." And in verse 18, you'll find his explanation where he says, "And others are the ones sown among the thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things, enter in and choke the word. And it proves unfruitful." And Luke, in his mind and how detailed he is, he records Jesus saying that they are choked by the cares and the riches and pleasures of life. And their fruit does not mature. So Jesus reveals that there is some growth, and it appears that there's even the beginnings of fruit, but it doesn't ripen because the plant is choked out by the surrounding thorns. The fullest intentions of sowing the seed is so that it takes root and that it bears fruit ready for harvesting. That is the fullest intention of sowing the seed. Jesus reveals that we are unable to move past this point if we are not totally committed to him. This is the place where one is caught in the illusion of trying to serve two masters, God and money. And you can replace money with material things. It could be your house, your car, it could be your friends, your hobbies, whatever. The reality is that you can't serve two masters. You can only serve one or the other. You can only serve God or the other list of things that we are caught up in. It's one or the other. If you look at where you are in your life right now, what are you attached to that is preventing you from being dependent on God alone? Where is he drawing you out of your comfort zone to trust in him? And I believe that all of us are in that place right now. Are you unwilling to give up your earthly happiness for the sake of serving in the capacity that God has given you? Is your couch too soft? Is your TV show too entertaining? Is your vacation too needed? And the list can go on and on and on. And I believe that you know exactly where you are in your life and what it is that God is trying to break you from. How are you handling all the closures of your conveniences because of this virus? the seed sown among the thorns is consumed with worry and anxiety, which drowns out the words of Jesus, who told you, Jesus told you not to worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow has enough worry of its own. Rest in him. Sit at his feet. Listen to his words. Jesus said that we don't need to worry about what we will wear, what we will eat, because he will take care of the things that we need. It may not be all glitz and glamour, and I think a lot of us are going to be experiencing that in the coming days, where we have to really reduce what we engage in. We won't have the nicest things. But God promises to provide us for what we need. And what we need is his life. And he has given us his very self to fulfill the need that we have. And finally, we get to the good soil. And Jesus says, and other seeds fell into the good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. In his explanation in verse 20, he says, but those that are sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it, thereby obeying the gospel. And they bear fruit, 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And Luke adds, Jesus saying that the good soil are the ones who, hearing the word, hold it fast. They hold on to it tight. They cling to it in an honest and good heart, and they bear fruit with patience. Good soil is plowed. It is broken up, and it's soft. To put it plainly, in life's experiences, it's a heart that has been through life-altering events leading to God. It is a heart that is broken of pride, self-righteousness, and sin. A heart that is vulnerable. It is the kind of heart where the word of God falls into and it takes root. The good soil bears the scars of pain and the endurance of suffering. The good soil submits itself to the plow, to the hand of the farmer who knows how to grow a good crop and how to bear fruit, harvesting it. To the farmer who knows how to nurture that crop by weeding it and removing the thorns where he sees fit. The good soil is everything that the other soils are not. The good soil is not calloused and unresponsive to the word of God because it has the faith of a child to believe. In the midst of fear, it will hang on to the name of Jesus and not be withered, though it endures the scorching of bearing his name. The good soil will learn to let go of the cares and worries of this world and find freedom in its identity and value and purpose in the life of Christ, as difficult as it may be. In Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 5, Paul writes, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you understand what that means, that you have peace with God, that his wrath is no longer upon you because of Christ? By faith, you have been justified. By faith, you are justified and you have peace with God. Through him, we have obtained access by faith into his grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope in the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. And endurance produces character. And character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And I'll close and summarize with this. And it does sadden me to think that there may be those of you who have not heard the word of God today. You have regarded these words as foolishness. According to the numbers given to us by Jesus in this parable, only one and four types of people who hear the word of God are deeply rooted and bear fruit. Only one in four types of people, not one in four people, but one in four types of people who hear the word of God are deeply rooted and bear fruit. The rest have either rejected it or are failing to walk in the Spirit. As just one of many who are preaching this morning, I am held responsible for sowing the word of God, because I have been sent and because I have agreed to do so. As the sower, I am not responsible for where it lands, and therefore not responsible for how it is received. That is beyond my control. If you have heard nothing today, then the devil has taken away the seed from you. Your heart is hard and not ready to receive the word of God. But still, I urge you to repent and walk away from your sin. All of us have fallen short of his glory. And therefore, at one time or another, we have all been the hardened path that rejected the gospel. We have all been the hardened path where Satan came and took the word of God from us. We all started there. We were enemies when God came to us in the person of Jesus Christ to die for our sins. We were enemies at that time. Just because your heart is hard today does not mean that God has given up on you. He is still calling you. He has secured your salvation. He has sent his son. Past tense, he has sent his son to die for you. And Jesus said on the cross, "It is finished." You need to recognize your sin and thereby your need of Jesus and receive him by his grace. If you have received the word of God this morning with great joy, I urge you to examine yourself and count the cost of following Jesus. Hearing the gospel message of Christ is life-changing and will bring about faith in you. Because of the world that we live in, your faith will be tested. You will be tempted and you will be challenged to live how you've always lived, to fall back and fulfill the desires of your flesh. But know this, that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And that means deep roots, steadiness, that clinging to his word. It produces steadfastness that will allow you to stand strong in the face of hard times. It's like an aged tree that stands strong in a storm. It is deeply rooted in the ground. And James continues to say, "And let that steadfastness take its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." If you have heard the word of God and believe Jesus to be the risen Son of God, but feel defeated and drawn to the pleasures of this world, I encourage you to look to the things that are above and not to the things of this earth. I want to remind you that everything that you have, will not last. It will all perish, and very likely in your lifetime. Stop allowing these weeds and thorns to choke out the power of God's word in your life. He has given you victory over sin. He has given you peace that surpasses all understanding. He has given you more value and worth than what this entire world can give you. Stop believing the lies that feed the thorns that choke your faith. Believe the words of the one who was spent for you so that you could live. And lastly, if you are living a victorious Christian life, I believe that you'll have a hard time accepting that or admitting that you are a victorious Christian. You know that you are not a good person. You know that you need the life of Christ in you to be right. You know that the Christ life is not about works, but about a faith in him which produces good works. You are bearing fruit, but not keeping track of the fruit because your focus is on him and not on the fruit. You know that it's nothing that you have done, but by the persistent drawing of God that you've come to where you are today. You have heard his voice, and he has called you many times. You have heard his voice, and you felt the scorching of your shallow attempt at being a Christian. And God has been exposing and weeding all of your deeply rooted cares in this world and removing them from you. And you've come to this place where Jesus is increasing and you are decreasing, and he is yielding within you 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. as you produce fruit, know that you have not arrived. Your race is not yet finished. There is no such thing as retirement in the Christian faith. As long as you are here on this earth, God will continually call you and grow you. And he will continually expose the things in you that are not from him. And he will continually call you to give those up and surrender those to him and be more and more dependent upon him. Why? So that you can keep producing fruit. So that those who are still the hardened path, and those who are lightly rooted in the rocky ground, and those who are being choked out by the thorns will continue to receive every opportunity to hear and believe the word of God. And as Jesus says at the very end of his parable, he who has ears to hear, let them hear. I want to thank you for joining us this morning, and I pray that God has planted something in you, even if you don't know what that is. But continue to trust in him and let him do the increase in you so that you can, on that day when you stand before him, see the fruit that he has borne in you. And I want to leave you with a benediction from Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 to 26 that says, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." Amen.